You are Locked On Panthers, your daily Carolina Panthers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, friends? Welcome to another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast. Billy Rossetti of SI Panthers with you here as we are rolling along through our positional previews for next week's Senior Bowl. We've touched on all the offense. We went through defensive line. And now we are going to touch on linebackers in this episode. We'll get into that in a little bit. But first, before we get into that, I want to touch on some of the highlights from the introductory press conference of new general manager Scott Fitter. He spoke to the media late this week and gave a good introduction, you know, thanked a lot of people, thanked the Seattle organization, whatnot. David Tepper spoke real quick too. But there's some interesting highlights from both Scott Fitter's press conference and a bit of the media session with head coach Matt Rhule, kind of talking about what the organizational structure might look like with the Panthers as kind of, you know, in this sort of three-horse race between owner David Tepper, head coach Matt Rhule, and GM Scott Fitterer. So there's some talks about that, and we got some a little bit of insight into how Mr. Tepper came to hiring Scott Fitterer. So there's some interesting notes, so I wanted to get into some of these highlights a little bit. So we'll jump right into kind of how Scott got the job. You know, he talked about having the early interview earlier this week and then getting right on the flight to Charlotte for his second interview. So he kind of gave us a bit of a unique perspective on going through a general manager hiring process in the midst of a pandemic and doing some of this stuff virtually. And he talked about, you know, how he felt this was a good fit right off the bat. And there were some other some interesting notes, like I said, from Mr. Tepper on why Scott became the, or how Scott became the man for the job. And, you know, I just will share this little clip. I'll let Mr. Tepper speak himself from, you know, this is a clip from the press conference as to why Scott became the man for the job.
When we settled on Scott, it was, you know, a few different reasons why. One was just the breadth of experience and how he matched up. You know, he had basically was in the draft room with Schneider and Carroll, had, you know, exposure to agents, very knowledgeable about the salary cap, involved with analytics, and just generally speaking, working for a college coach and some of the things that that brings with you, the development that Carroll's had with some of his players, you know, having to deal with later round, later picks.
So some good stuff there, you know, certainly a good note too about the analytical point and working with Pete Carroll and John Schneider. And later in the press conference too, Scott made a note of how the Panthers in this situation are similar to the Seahawks in that the college coach, you know, of course, Pete Carroll was a pro coach in the past, but coming from USC, Carroll was hired first, then John Schneider. Similar scenario here in Carolina. Matt Rhule hired first and had input into the new GM hire, similar to Pete Carroll getting input in John Schneider being hired. And he mentioned, of course, all the late picks because, you know, we know a lot of the success that the Seahawks have. In fact, one of the questions, I think it was Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports, made a note during his question that it's been some time, I think about 8 years, 8 or 9 years, since the Seahawks have had a top 15 pick. So not used to this position, but he talked about the flexibility, or Scott talked about the flexibility now of having a top 10 pick because our old buddy Josh Klein actually asked about a lot of the trading down that Seattle's done over the years. And Scott noted that having a top 10 pick now, you know, having the eighth pick gives them a lot of flexibility because they can move up, they can move down. When he talked about trading down a lot from being like the mid-20s, he noted that kind of the cutoff of the talent is about 16, 17, somewhere that. So when you're at like pick 25 or so, he's felt there wasn't too much of a talent difference between, say, picks 25 and 40. So that's why they would feel comfortable trading down. But he said there's a lot of flexibility with having a top 10 pick now here with the Panthers. He also was asked, of course, tried to be asked hypothetically about a certain Houston quarterback possibly being available. And obviously, Scott didn't get into any details, but he did note that he wants to be involved in every deal. In fact, here's a bit of a clip regarding that note, that he wants to be in on every deal.
Well, I'm not going to get into hypotheticals. What I will tell you is we will be in on every deal. We're going to find out where things are going, what the landscape is in the NFL. But before we do anything outside, I need to figure out who's here. I need to figure out this roster. I need to figure out who's on our offensive line, who's on our defensive line. I know them from a 30,000-foot view, but I need to know them from a coach's standpoint. I need to know them from a personnel standpoint and meet these guys and see what they're made up of. So there's a lot of things we're going to be involved with going forward. We're going to be very aggressive in our acquisition process, but it starts with getting to know our team and just being here for just a few days. I'm just starting that process.
So, you know, typical GM speak there, obviously trying, number one, not to get in trouble, because that's obviously kind of tampering to discuss players like that. But, you know, it makes a lot of sense. Figure out what he has here. You know, it's kind of similar to what we went through last year, the whole, you know, going through the roster and talking about players that were here. And we talked about Cam Newton. And then, of course, not much later, Cam Newton was out. So, obviously, no idea what the Panthers are going to do. But, you know, Scott Fitterer wants to take kind of an aggressive approach at looking at this roster. And like I alluded to earlier, the whole organizational structure, talking about final say, it sounds like, you know, everyone's in agreement. They all want it to be pretty well together. I mean, Matt Rhule said that in a way, he said technically he still has final say over the team's roster, but it's still going to be a collaborative effort. So here's a quick note of what Matt Rhule said about the organizational structure and who has final say and things like that.
I think in terms of on the contract, a lot of those things probably, you know, rest with me. But that's not something I'm real interested in. As I've told you guys from the very beginning, I think it's kind of a formality. Scott's here to run the personnel. He's here to build the roster. He's here to establish the draft process. I think some things maybe are, you know, kind of written down, you know, contractually, but I had that experience this past year. I think we're going to work really collaboratively and work together.
And just to kind of build on that, here's the similar question about the structure from owner David Tepper and GM Scott Fitterer.
I think we're going to, you know, as we had before, actually, you know, pretty collaborative sort of effort between Scott and Matt. You know, I think that, you know, they will, you know, be involved on all these different football decisions together. They're the primary ones making these decisions.
I've never been in a draft room where anyone's ever said, hey, I have the 53, he has the 53. This is something we're going to do together, and we're going to make the best decision for the Carolina Panthers. We're going to work through this. We're going to challenge each other. We're going to study. And in the end, we're going to be combined in our decisions, and we're going to do what's best for the team.
So there you go. It sounds like it's going to be kind of an even-keel approach. So technically, Matt Rhule has final say over the roster, but he even said himself he's not really interested in it, and it sounds like Scott Fitterer is going to have pretty much just as much say in the football decision making. You know, David Tepper also talked about how Scott Fitterer will do like a lot of the draft stuff, and Matt Rhule will have like some of the roster stuff, because those sides are kind of more on their end. You know, stuff that Matt Rhule, you know, because Matt Rhule will have more stuff in season to focus on, so that Scott Fitterer can take care of other things. So it sounds like it's a pretty solid approach to how things are going to be structured. So it's going to be really interesting to see how things play out. But it was a good opening press conference, you know, good to hear from Scott Fitterer for the first time. So kind of have sort of an idea what to expect from the Panthers organization moving forward now that David Tepper basically has his guys in place. And you talked about that a little bit now too, that you know, how important it is now that he effectively has his guys in the building and head coach Matt Rhule and GM Scott Fitterer. So those are some of the highlights from Scott Fitterer's introductory press conference. So we'll take a quick minute and thank our quick sponsors and look at the linebacker position for the Senior Bowl. And I've said it numerous times, a lot of good names here to look out for. So excited to dive into this. But before we get into that, shout out to our friends. Today's episode being brought to you by BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bar ever, which includes 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavor. Anything from double chocolate to salted caramel, apple almond, carrot cake, and just about everything in between. Built Bars are great for the health conscious guy. You could lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high in fiber, and they're great for a keto diet. So go to BuiltBar.com and enter promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, gets you 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And also our friends at BetOnline.ag. Conference championship weekend is here. And of course, also NBA action, college basketball action, a lot of good stuff for you guys to get a chance to make a little bit of money. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. So sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. And remember to use our promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So as we talk about the Senior Bowl now, we jump to the linebacker position where we got some intriguing names here. Of course, we've been going through all the position groups at that will be at the Senior Bowl and kind of introducing the players that the Panthers will get to deal with at the Senior Bowl next week. And we've made it now to the linebacker position, and there are some intriguing names that the Panthers are going to get their hands on here at the linebacker position. One of those players is a guy that a couple years ago, you know, as a freshman, looked like he was going to have a lot of first-round buzz and then kind of tailed off a little bit, but I think is starting to see his stock rise a little bit, and I think he's starting to get himself back into these, you know, later round discussions and has now become kind of a sleeper pick. Doesn't have as much buzz on him, but could still be an interesting player to watch at the Senior Bowl and in the NFL. And that's Paddy Fisher out of Northwestern, 6'4", 240 pounds from Katy, Texas. And, you know, like I said, 2017 really kind of burst onto the scene and was already starting to generate some first-round buzz. He had 113 tackles, which led all FBS first-year players, and also had 65 solo tackles, earned Freshman All-America honors from the Football Writers Association of America, second team All-Big Ten by the media, third team by the coaches, and was the Big Ten Freshman Defensive Player of the Year by the Big Ten Network. 2018... still had another solid season, was a third-team All-American by the Associated Press, first-team All-Big Ten. It was the second straight year he earned honors from All-Big Ten. Ended up with 116 total tackles, so gave him back-to-back seasons with over 100 tackles. He was the first Northwestern player to accomplish that feat since Anthony Walker did it in 2015 and 2016. Also had 4 forced fumbles, which was tied for most among all Big Ten players. His tackle numbers did drop a little bit in 2019, finishing with just 89 tackles, but that was still second on the team. 6 tackles for a loss. You know, so the buzz kind of shined off a little bit. There were starting to become some questions about whether he can be an every down player. There were some concerns about his pass coverage, but you know, his run stopping ability was still pretty solid. And then 2020, I think he bounced back pretty nicely. AP All Big Ten defensive first team, and then was second team All American from the American Football Coaches Association. And as far as his tackle numbers go, bounced that was able to accomplish, or was able to total 86 total tackles, which was only three shy of what he had in 2019, and he did it in three fewer games. So 86 tackles in nine games, so he's starting to get back kind of on the pace that he was at in 17 and 18, and also had 4.5 tackles for a loss. So 24.5 total tackles for a loss, 404 total tackles, and even four interceptions, 14 passes defended, and 11 forced fumbles. Those are some of the numbers from Patty Fisher over his 4 years at Northwestern. So he's starting to brighten his shine a little bit again after bouncing back from 2019. So I think he's going to be one of the more intriguing prospects. I could see a lot of eyes being on him after, again, he was generating a lot of first-round buzz during his first couple years and then kind of tailed off a little bit. So I'm really going to be fascinated to see where Patty Fisher ends up being drafted. Another interesting name to watch for here is Charles Snowden out of Virginia. In 2020, Snowden was second team All-ACC, first team All-ACC from Phil Steele, was on the award watch list for the Bednarik Award and the Butkus Award preseason watch list, the Bronco Nagurski Trophy preseason watch list. So a lot of recognition for Charles Snowden. And then just look at some of his numbers over the years. 2017, played in 10 games, totaled 13 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss. 2018, 13 games played, 61 total tackles, 7.5 tackles for a loss, 2 interceptions, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery. 19, he had 72 tackles in 14 games, 11 tackles for a loss. And then in 2020, played in 8 games, totaled 44 tackles, and had 10 tackles for a loss. So 30.5 tackles for a loss over 4 years, 28.5 of those in the last 3 years, and 190 total tackles in 45 games. So that's Charles Snowden, listed on the team's website at 6'7", 240. We go to a player that's effectively going to get to play in his home area, at least in terms of where he went to college, and of course the Senior Bowl being down in Mobile, which is where the University of South Alabama is. In fact, it'll be the new stadium for South Alabama, and that's Riley Cole, 6'3", 225, from Oneonta, Alabama. 2017, played 8 games, in fact, started 8 games, played all 12, 55 tackles, 2.5 for a loss. 2018, 4 tackles in 3 games before suffering a season-ending injury. 2019, played in all 12 games, started 11, 59 total tackles, 9 for a loss. And then in 2020, played in 10 games, 96 total tackles, 6.5 tackles for a loss, and 2 sacks. And then we head over to Jabril Cox of LSU, who actually was a graduate transfer from North Dakota State. But in his one season with LSU, he played in 10 games, totaled 58 touchdowns, 6.5 tackles for a loss, 1 sack, 3 interceptions. In fact, returned one of those interceptions for a touchdown, and had 8 passes defended and 1 fumble recovery. And in his 3 seasons at North Dakota State, had himself a pretty solid run there. 258 tackles, 32 tackles for loss, and 14 sacks in 3 seasons. And of course, won the national championship all 3 years that he was at North Dakota State. In fact, the Bison were 45-1 during those 3 years, and at one point Cox started 31 consecutive games before missing the game against South Dakota State in 2019 with an injury. So a lot of production, a lot of championship gold to his credit as well. So Jabril Cox, LSU, another name to look out for. We got four more names to talk about here at the linebacker position, and we'll do that in just a minute. But first, a shout out to our friends over at Echelon. You know, when it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there this year, as they offer the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride smart treadmill. So no matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. The EX7S is Echelon's latest state-of-the-art innovation that takes cycling to the next level. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind, and it is the bike for competitors at heart. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. So right now, you can try Echelon Fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Just go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's echelonfit.com/lockedon. echelonfit.com/lockedon. Four more linebackers here to talk about at this point as we take a look at another Houston player. We talked about a Houston kid, Peyton Turner, on the defensive line that the Panthers will have, and they will also have linebacker Grant Stewart at their disposal as well. Stewart is a 6'1", 225-pound linebacker from Conroe, Texas, was an all-conference second-team selection in 2019, and just a quick run-through of his numbers as well. In 2020, he actually had a game where he had 12 tackles in a game. That was against UCF on Halloween. Totaled 61 tackles in 2020, 5 tackles for a loss, and also had 1 sack this season. And in 2019, played in 12 games, 97 total tackles, 9.5 tackles for a loss, 1 sack, and then had 30 total tackles in 13 games with 2.5 tackles for a loss, and also played in 7 games in 2017. So that's Grant Stewart of Houston. And then another later round prospect that I'm kind of intrigued by as well, and I'll be really curious to see how he fares in Mobile, Monty Rice out of Georgia, 6'1", 235, was one of the 5 finalists for the Butkus Award, which of course goes to the nation's best linebacker. He was he started 8 games in 2020 and a couple other accolades. He was named All-America second team by The Athletic and was All-SEC first team by the Associated Press. He finished 3rd on the team with 49 total stops in 2020. And then in 2019, AP All-SEC second team, and was co-winner of the Vince Dooley Defensive MVP, which is given at the team's postseason awards gala. Started all 14 games for Georgia, led the team with 89 total stops, also had 14 quarterback pressures, and had 5 tackles in the Sugar Bowl win over Baylor. 2018, played in 9 games, started 5, 3rd on the team with 59 tackles, and that was despite missing 5 games due to injury. And 2017, 14 game appearances, 22 total stops, including his first career start against Missouri. So another name to look out for there in Monty Rice. And then we stick in the SEC as we take a look at KJ Britt out of Auburn. Britt listed at 6 foot 243, comes from Oxford, Alabama, became a starter in 2019 and became first team all SEC in 2019. 69 tackles, 10 for a loss. And then 2020 played in just two games total, but did total 23 tackles in those two games and had a tackle for a loss. So that's KJ Britt of Auburn. And then last but certainly not least is Jordan Smith of UAB. Jordan Smith is one of the, another one of the more intriguing guys here. And in fact, he's got a lot of length. He's listed 6'7", 255 pounds from Lithonia, Georgia. He was first team All-Conference USA in 2020. 43 total tackles, 9.5 tackles for a loss, 4.5 sacks, 1 interception, 8 quarterback hurries. Led the team in tackles for a loss and sacks as well. And was also on the preseason watch list for both the Chuck Bednarik Award and the Bronco Nagurski Award. And then he also had 53 total tackles, 17.5 tackles for loss, and 10 sacks in 2019, and was named second team All-Conference USA. So Jordan Smith is one of those intriguing edge guys or linebacker guys, where however you want to play him. And I've been seeing him kind of ranked, you know, just inside the top 100 on some draft boards. So this could be a soft, you can get late third, early fourth round in April. So really excited to see what he can do in some of these one-on-one battles with some of these offensive linemen. So those are the linebackers that the Panthers will get to deal with at the Senior Bowl. So again, it's Paddy Fisher of Northwestern, Charles Snowden of Virginia, Riley Cole of South Alabama, Jabril Cox of LSU, Grant Stewart of Houston, Monty Rice of Georgia, KJ Britt of Auburn, and Jordan Smith of UAB. And then just a quick run through of the guys that the Dolphins will get to work with next week. They will have Garrett Wallow of TCU, Hamilcar Rashed Jr. of Oregon State, and then a trio of Ohio State linebackers, Justin Hilliard, Baron Browning, and Tuff Borland. And then this was one of the other big names. In fact, we talked earlier in the week, they had teased a couple of early round prospects that they were announcing. Those two players ended up being the two Surratt brothers. Sage Surratt, the wide receiver for Wake Forest, who of course was slotted to the Dolphins, as well as UNC linebacker Chaz Surratt, who is a guy that I think the Panthers really need to consider in potentially in the second round. I mean, this kid's very athletic, former college quarterback. So the Dolphins will work with him next week. And then they also have Tony Fields II out of West Virginia and Derek Barnes out of Purdue. So those are all the linebackers so far at the Senior Bowl. And with that, we've got just one position group to talk about. And that, of course, will be the defensive backs. We're still waiting on, in fact, those to be announced in terms of who's going to be on what roster. But we'll certainly talk about those when they come. But that's all we got left, the secondary, and of course, yeah, the special teamers as well, the punters, kickers, and long snappers, because they're people too. But for the most part, secondary, pretty much all we have left, as we've covered everybody else that will be at the Senior Bowl. So a lot of good stuff as always, and I think that's a good place to wrap it up here on this edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast. So thanks as always for tuning in, everybody. Really appreciate your support. Remember to follow me on Twitter at @Bill_Ricetti, RICCETTE. And of course, follow the podcast wherever you get your listening pleasure. And until next time, take care of yourselves, everybody. Stay well. Have a good one. We'll see you next time right here on LOP. Until then, take care, my friends. We'll see you soon.